This is a radio version of a sermon on 1 Peter 3, verse 7, preached originally at New Covenant Church on September 23rd, 2018. Now at this time, we continue on in Peter's application here to the husbands in 1 Peter 3, verse 7. And that verse goes like this: "Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." Now, by way of quick review, we have learned that the husband is to live with his wife, to take the lead in building this relationship by moving toward the wife in service, in sensitivity, and in devotion, and being willing to adapt and to grow and to change in order to make a life with his wife. The husband is to be directed by his understanding, to have an understanding of himself first, as being a sinner saved by grace, an understanding of his God in Christ through a personal spiritual relationship with Christ, and strengthened by his devoted Bible study and prayer, and an understanding of his wife in terms of her continuing to be the gift from God to him, as well as to understand the unique ways that she too proves to be sinful, tempted, and yet redeemed, and that she also is growing in her sanctification, and that she is doing all these in completely different ways than he is experiencing his own sinfulness, temptation, and redemption, and how he himself is also growing in sanctification. So the next descriptive instructing the husband as to what it looks like to live with his wife is given here in the ESV by the phrase, "showing honor to the woman." The way I want to approach this is to demonstrate to you the many nuances that are represented by these words, all of which come from the effort of translating the Greek into English, and which result in the multiple ways in which this phrase is expressed in the many translations that are available to us today. Let me illustrate that by focusing just on the word woman. In the Greek, one word is used to refer to either a woman in general or a wife in particular, and therefore it is the context that always tells us which of the two is meant by the author. When we come to that, this will be an important question: is it the wife in particular or women in general that Peter is referring to as the weaker vessel? While that might have direct bearing on the question of the issue of showing honor, is this an obligation, in other words, of all men toward all women? I want to approach the topic of honor tonight as Peter teaching us here that it is as the man in the role of the husband that is to show honor, specifically honor to his wife. Now first, the way Christians are often taught to think about honor has to do with how we are to respect and obey authority. This is very much at issue, for instance, when we contemplate the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. When we think of honor in that context, we first think of little children in the home who must be taught not merely that they are to obey their parents' commands outwardly, but that they must also be trained so that their wills and hearts' desire become such as to want to please the husband rather than just comply outwardly. In other words, in impressing this commandment to young children, they must be taught to honor their parents, to respect and to regard them as from the heart. And then, as we think of children growing up, honoring their parents includes performing the skills and the duties that they have been taught and expected to do, and to do them well. Honoring their parents here means not just doing the bare minimum or doing what they do poorly, but having a desire in their hearts and minds to demonstrate a growth in character and maturity as well as in dependability and trustworthiness. And finally, as children become adults and as their children age, honoring those parents means to remember the gift and the blessing that their parents have been to them, and to now understand it as their loving duty to see that their parents are taken care of into the years of their old age, and finally to see them properly buried after death. So the first way that the meaning of honor can be understood in the marriage relationship is to understand that the husband's regard and treatment of his wife may not be in the form of outward compliance alone. That is, in other words, doing what he must do to keep her from nagging at him, and yet still grumbling about it and growing resentful in his heart toward her. But he must learn to respond to her from his heart, which brings us back to the fact that he will not build and strengthen his marriage by focusing on her first, but rather by focusing on his relationship to his Lord and Savior, as we examined last time. But there are other times in Scripture where the exercise and the demonstration of honor occurs that is outside the context of parental authority, and therefore will apply more readily to the husband's relationship to his wife. One example of this is what we find in Luke chapter 14, where Jesus teaches the people gathered for a feast. He says, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him, and he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person,' and then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Do not sit down in a place of honor, Jesus says. Do not presume that you deserve honor from someone else, your wife in this case, and that you are content thinking that you have no obligation yourself to give her honor. Instead, take Jesus' lesson of being a servant leader to heart and humble yourself before your wife. Then, Jesus says, humble yourself so as hopefully to be honored by others. Here, honor is a compliment, a recognition, not based on an authority or a social position, but on respect and recognition for who you yourself are. The husband is to be known by his wife for his humility, his deference to her, so that the wife is moved to submit to her husband as her response to him. Another example is in Genesis chapter 30. The patriarch Jacob, we read, has not one but two wives, Leah and Rachel. These women are not only wives, but they are sisters, and they find themselves competing for their husband's love and affection through their giving unto Jacob the sons that he is looking for and wants. Leah, the one who is in want of love more, bears to Jacob a sixth son, and she says this, "God has endowed me with a good endowment. Now my husband will honor me because I have borne him six sons." Leah was hoping to receive honor from Jacob. She wanted not simply to be a wife, not simply to be taken care of, not simply to be protected, not simply to be a part of the household. She wanted to be visibly favored. She wanted Jacob's expression of delight and his obvious demonstration of favor. And of course, in the unfolding of their history, Leah was not receiving that honor, and she was desperate for it. She even names the newborn son Zebulun, a name which actually means honor. So both of these examples help to see the basic principle for Peter regarding honor, which is that he is telling husbands that honor is not received by the wife, unless it is deliberately, intentionally given by the husband. One way to look at this is this way. Honor is the opposite of selfishness. Think about some other words that carry the meaning of honor. Yielding, responding, submitting, anticipating, pleasing, trusting, learning, saluting, paying homage, thanking, appreciating, remembering. Honor is something that must be given. The husband must give honor if the wife is to receive it. Otherwise, you see, honor does not occur. If the husband does not give honor, no honor is done. Think about that child again, relating to his parents. You might ask that child, "Well, do you honor your parents?" And he might respond, "Oh yeah, I do that. But how?" Is ignoring his parents the first three times they tell him to do something, is that honoring them? Is lying to them honoring them? Is defying them honoring the parents? Does it honor a wife when you take her for granted, when you forget about her, when you leave her in the dark about changing circumstances or events, when you embarrass her or humiliate her, or when you have even deliberately disappointed her, when you intentionally do not regard or consider her, but instead only regard your own designs? No, of course not. You do not honor your wife unless you give her honor. It's actually much easier for you to dishonor someone. When you choose to dishonor someone, you can do so either by deliberately insulting them, or you can dishonor a person simply by doing nothing. Give me an illustration of that by implication. The fifth commandment says that we should honor those who are older than we are. It used to be that when someone older simply walked into a room, you stood up to greet them. That gave that person honor. But how would you show dishonor? Well, by either mocking that person when he or she walks in, or else simply by not standing up, or in other words, by doing nothing. Dishonor is communicated very easily. Here's another example. Some people say very casually that they are Christians, but when you look at them, when you listen to them, when you see what they do, you see how they act, you realize they do not live their lives honoring Christ, giving honor to Christ. If they ignore Christ and his teaching for their lives, if they do not seek to worship him unless it's convenient for them to do so, if they continue to enjoy sinful things of the world and do not pursue righteousness, if they deliberately decide to go against his commandments because their situation, after all, is tough, do they honor Christ? They might say that they believe, but if they are not actively honoring Christ or giving Christ honor, they are not living as Christians, and their words are useless and empty. Why is honor important? Because ultimately, everyone is called to honor King Jesus. And if you do not give honor to Jesus now, you most surely will give that honor to him later. Whether you want to or not, everyone will give honor to Jesus. Philippians 2 says, "At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." Revelation 5:13. It is easy for a Christian to understand that honor belongs to Jesus. Our whole lives should be wrapped up in giving him our obedience, our submission, our trust, and our love. And if we are honestly about the business of giving to Jesus the honor he deserves, then we will also gladly fulfill the duties that he calls of us and give honor to those whom Jesus himself has placed among us.